नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. We are reading from Canto 10th, Chapter 72, Text 1, 2 and 3. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Tu Sabha Madhya Astito Muni Bivrita ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रिये वैश्ये भ्रातृर्भिश्च युधिष्ठिर। श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा तु सभा मध्य आस्थितो मुनिभिवृत ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रिये वैश्ये भ्रातृर्भिश्च युधिष्ठिर। श्रीशुक उवाच एकदा तु सभा मध्य आस्थितो मुनिभिवृत ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रिये वैश्ये भ्रातृभिश्च युधिष्ठिर। Matajis. Text 2 also. Acharye kula vriddhescha gyati sambandhi bandhave shrunvatam eva chaitesham abhasyedam uvachaha. Translation. Shukda Goswami said, One day, as King Yudhishthir sat in the royal assembly surrounded by eminent sages, brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, and also by his brothers, spiritual masters, family elders, blood relations, in-laws and friends, he addressed Lord Shri Krishna as everyone listen. There is no purport to this text 1 and 2. We'll read text 3. Shri Yudhishthir Uvacha Kritarajena Govinda Rajasuyena Pavani Yakshye Vibhutir Bhavatas Tat Sampadaya Na Prabho. Translation: Shri Yudhishthir said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious opulent expansion by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my lord. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami states that the word Vibhuti refers to Lord Krishna's expansions, Amsha, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explained that here the word Vibhuti refers to Lord Krishna's opulent expansions within this world, such as the demigods and other empowered beings. Thus, Srila Prabhupada treats these words as follow in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Lord Krishna, the sacrifice known as the Rajasuya Yajna is to be performed by the emperor and it is considered to be the king of all sacrifices. By performing this sacrifice, I wish to satisfy all the demigods who are your empowered representatives within this material world. And I wish that you will kindly help me in this great adventure so that it may be successfully executed. As far as the Pandavas are concerned, we have nothing to ask from the demigods. We are personally satisfied by being your devotees. As you say in the Bhagavad Gita, persons who are bewildered by material desires worship the demigods. But our purpose is different. I want to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice and invite the demigods to show them that they have no power independent of you. They are all your servants and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons with a poor fund of knowledge consider your lordships an ordinary human being. Sometimes they try to find fault in you and sometimes they defame you. Therefore, I wish to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. I wish to invite all the demigods beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other exalted chiefs of the heavenly planets. And in that great assembly of the demigods from all parts of the universe, I want to substantiate that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone is your servant. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Translation: Shukdev Goswami said, one day as King Yudhishthir sat in the royal assembly surrounded by eminent sages, brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, and also by his brothers, spiritual masters, family elders, blood relations, in-laws and friends, he addressed Lord Shri Krishna as everyone listened. Yudhishthir said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious opulent expansion by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my Lord. Seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, that I can speak something in glorification of the Lord and His devotees and for my purification. 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is practically describing the glory of a devotee, a small boy named Prahlad, and his oceanic divine qualities. Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prahladasyanu charitam mahabhagvatasya cha bhaktir jnanam viraktischa yatharthyam chasya vaihare. That means, he is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj that characteristic of great and exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is so great, and especially his staunch devotional service and his perfect knowledge and his perfect detachment from this material contamination. When Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj, it is explained that Yudhishthir Maharaj felt himself very much humbled hearing the wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that a devotee naturally feels himself incompetent, unqualified and insignificant, at the same time very joyful hearing other devotees' glories. Devotees are very happy hearing other devotees excelling in their devotional service, in their attempt to please and satisfy the Supreme Lord. And here is a classic example of Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is very joyful hearing the wonderful, you know, characteristic and the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. And at that time, Narad Muni, seeing that Yudhishthir Maharaj is feeling himself less fortunate, no, he tells to Yudhishthir Maharaj that Yuyam Nuloke Bhatapuri Bhaga Lokam Punana Munayo Vyanti Yesham Griham Avasatiti Shakshat Gudam Param Brahma Manushya Lingam. He is telling to Yudhishthir Maharaj that O King, you are no less fortunate than Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada explains in that purport that in this material world, in this Nruloka, Pandavas were the most fortunate. Why? Yesham Griham Avasititi Shakshat Gudham Param Brahma Manushyalingam. Because Lord Krishna, who is Param Brahma, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is residing, no, in the house of the Pandavas. Narad Muni is explaining that in case of Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingdev appeared to him and was there with him for some time. And then he just disappeared. But he is reminding Yudhishthir Maharaj that Lord Krishna, who is the source of Narsingdev, who is Avatari, he loves to be with you. He loves to be with all of you. So what a great fortune you have in your life. So Narad Muni is reminding Yudhishthir Maharaj of his fortunate position. And we see here in this verse and the previous chapter how Lord Krishna personally, along with his entire entourage, family members, have decided to visit Indraprastha and decided to stay there for a few months along with the Pandavas in Hastinapur. So, Prabhupada explains that all these great personalities are very fortunate. At the same time, Prabhupada is inspiring and encouraging all of us by saying, although we are not at the level of Prahlad Maharaj, nor do we have Lord Krishna's physical presence with us, Prabhupada is saying, any devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. So this is a quality of a great soul, that he knows how to inspire and encourage Now, even a person who has just started practicing devotional service. In fact, it is said that if we have to redirect our heart to Krishna, then that redirection of our heart to Krishna is based on complete rethinking of our worldview and redefinition of our conceptions. Lot of us have this conception, previous conception, notion that what fortune means in our life. For most of the people in the outside world, fortune means to have some assets or how much revenue one generates or how much property one has. Of course, that is considered as a great fortune in today's day and age. Prabhupada is giving us a devotional vision of what true fortune means. If we are in a position, if we are attempting to be Krishna conscious, we are the most fortunate on this earth planet. Why? Because even though people who have great assets, fortune in their life, if they are not able to connect that fortune to Krishna, that same fortune may turn into a misfortune. Sometimes or many times. We see a classic example of Satrajit. No? He had a semantic jewel which had the power to create unlimited fortune in his life. But because he denied to assist Lord Krishna, he denied to serve Krishna by offering that Shamantak money to King Ugrasen. That same fortune very soon turned into a greatest calamity and misfortune in his life. On the contrary, we see a life of a devotee called Sudama. He had practically no material assets in his life, but he just tried offering something that he had to Krishna, and fortune favored him so much way beyond his comprehension. So we have to understand what true fortune really means. And we see here in this verse, great personalities are assembled in the royal court of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Why? Because lokam punana munayobiyanti. Because all these great personalities, including the saintly person, munis, were assembled. Yesham griham avasati sakshat. Lord Krishna was personally present in that assembly. So all these great rishis and munis were present. Otherwise they had no reason for them to be there in such a royal assembly. So here Yudhishthir Maharaj is approaching Krishna and he is asking Krishna for a very, asking Krishna to fulfill a very lofty desire. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. Having desire is not wrong, but what is the intent behind the desire and whom do you approach to fulfill that desire is very important. We see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, where he had a gross material desire and the intent was to take revenge or intent was to compete. But then he approached right person, Lord Krishna, to fulfill his desire. And what exactly was the result? Sthana bilashi stapasti stitoham tam prapyavan deva munindra guhyam kachan vichinnam api divya ratnam swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. He approached Lord Krishna with a material desire to fulfill. But in course, along with the fulfillment of his desire, his desires got purified. So he thought, he understood and he came to this realization that having darshan of the Lord is the greatest fortune rather than just having the fortune of some material assets. So having desire is not an issue, but whom do we approach and what is the intent behind is very important. And we see in this case, so basically what I thought is, this year marks the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada, traveling to West on Jaladutta. So I thought of drawing a parallels between this pastime that's happening in a life of Yudhishthir Maharaj and life of Srila Prabhupada. We see in this case, Yudhishthira Maharaj is quite ambitious. He is really ambitious. In the sense, having a desire to practically conquer, you know, all the kings of the world and bring them under his subjugation. He is a classic example to refute this argument where people say that bhakti makes one unambitious or non-productive. We see in the outside world today, many of the people, they feel that those who are householders, they are irresponsible. Those who are in the renounced order, they are unproductive. And because they take up to the path of devotional service. And here is a classic example which refutes this fact that bhakti makes someone unambitious. In fact, recently we had conducted this festival called Departmental Mela, for those who know. And all the heads of the department were told to present what exactly they are doing in their department. How much they are trying their best to implement systems by which this temple can work smoothly. And to my surprise, it was a big surprise to me, I found that there are more than 50 departments they are running in this such a small temple. 50 department, more than 50 department, and certain some department names I had never even heard of. We are staying here for many years now, but I never knew that such department also runs here. There's a department called Art Department, department called Child Protection Committee. I never knew there's a such department that runs here. A department called Disaster Management. How do you manage disaster in the time of emergency? Or a website department. So many websites are running, trying to upgrade systems. There's a department called Quality Assurance. I never knew that. Department called Vehicle Maintenance. And so on and so forth. I was really surprised. More than 50 departments are running. And every devotee, we just thought that it would just take 3 hours to complete, for everyone to present their, whatever presentation. But it took minimum 3 sessions of 3 hours each, and still it falls short of, the time, and they couldn't present completely. So, and above that, what was more interesting, that every devotee is involved in more than 2 or 3 departments. He's engaged, he is busy, engaged in more than 2 or 3 departments, which is rare to see in a corporate world. You don't get to see a person working in two to three departments simultaneously. And a person who is expert will manage his own department. And here are people who may not have the same skill set, but they are in 2 departments and managing so efficiently. And then in the evening they go out and preach. So who can say that they are non-productive? And what to speak of devotees in a grihastha ashram? They have responsibility at a social front, at occupational front, or parental front, or professional front, or even above all spiritual front. They are responsible for sustaining all 3 ashrams. That's heavy. That's a big responsibility. And what to speak of people in renounce order? Their big responsibility is to maintain other 3 ashrams spiritually. That's toughest. To keep inspiring same people with the same philosophy for years and years. That's really a challenge. So I was just thinking that no one is non-productive. Everyone is contributing to their best of their ability in the service of Krishna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is a classic example of a person who is really ambitious, and he is trying to use his profession as being a Kshatriya in order to glorify Krishna. And he is using Krishna given talent in the service of Krishna. And we know this pastime, how George Harrison, when he was inspired by Shyam Sundar Prabhu and when he met Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to renounce. He said, "Prabhupada, I want to give up my profession." Prabhupada said, "No need to give up your profession. All that you need to do is sing for Krishna." So bhakti is not about rejecting the worldly duties. Bhakti is all about connecting the world in the service of Krishna. So here we see Yudhishthira Maharaj is very ambitious, but his being ambitious is exclusively for glorifying Shri Krishna. Therefore, it's the intention that's more important than anything else. Because sometimes in name of being ambitious, we may get overtaken by greed, and we started some service in order to please Krishna, but then in due course of time, our spiritual practices get slackened, and we get carried away by this greed disguised. So, but here we see that Pandavas, they were very much connected to the intent. They were in spite or even after conquering the entire world and bringing all the kings under the subjugation, they were not at all intoxicated by power or greed. And what was the test? When they heard that Lord Krishna has left this earth planet, immediately, at a spur of a moment, they gave up everything and renounced the entire world and went to Himalayas. So they were detached, but at the same time very ambitious in order to glorify Shri Krishna. So we see similarly in the life of Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada was super ambitious. When we are small, our ambitions are very high. If a child is asked, what will you become when you grow, when you go big? Child will say, maybe I'll become a president of India. But then what happens? In due course of time, in his exams, he fails. Then he realizes, maybe I may not be able to become president of India, but I will show to the whole world that I can become a millionaire. And then suddenly the reversals, the difficulties, the challenges strikes in his life, and then he, steps down. Then he says, maybe I will become richest in my society, family circle. And that also goes down. He fails in that. Then finally, he comes to this conclusion, at least if I get a job, that would be enough for me. So we see that our ambitions, they grow. But then with failures, our ambitions and our enthusiasm to achieve those ambitions go down. And here in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we see he was super ambitious. And with all the failures and all the reversals that he faced in his life, his ambitions grew bigger and bigger. He could have been satisfied by just making an attempt to go to US, so that he could have told to his godbrothers that, yes, I tried fulfilling the desire of my spiritual master. He could have been satisfied staying in Vrindavan and just written Bhagavatam purports. Or he could have been satisfied just by opening one center in New York, 22nd Avenue, and he could have told that, yes, I did fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. And here is he, one after another, from New York to San Francisco to Montreal to London and practically everywhere. So who can say, a person in a renounced order is so ambitious? What to speak of a devotee in a brahmacharya ashram or in a grahastha ashram? So Prabhupada is a classic example. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is super ambitious, Prabhupada is also showing this quality of being ambitious for Krishna. Second similarity, there are a lot of threads of commonality that runs between life of Yudhishthira Maharaj and Prabhupada. Just as Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we see Prabhupada's life mission was to establish Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he made it very clear when he gave the seven purposes of ISKCON. That was his main motto. So these two purposes which he mentions makes it very clear that what's Prabhupada's life mission or what's the mission of ISKCON. The first he writes is to propagate consciousness of Krishna, God, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the second, to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity. Thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Krishna. Prabhupada was very clear in his in his mission. In fact, someone even told Prabhupada, why don't you name your society as International Society for God Consciousness? Prabhupada said, no. It has to be very clear. It has to be International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna's supremacy over and above anyone and anything of this world. Prabhupada was in hippie land south in San Francisco. At that time, we know this, that they had resolved to rebel. Whoever the authority is, just rebel. And here was Prabhupada who would give evening talks, and there was this musical band of people called Fugs. And they would write wild passionate songs glorifying sense enjoyment. And they came to Prabhupada's evening talk, and Prabhupada started with kirtan. And they all started playing their musical instruments, and they really enjoyed kirtan. Prabhupada practically did kirtan for half an hour and then stopped to give a talk. And Haigri Prabhu writes that devotees were very scared, and devotees were thinking, what would Prabhupada speak? Prabhupada should speak something that should not agitate these people. And that evening, Prabhupada spoke very heavily on the effects and the consequences of engaging in sense gratification. And he spoke on the illusion and the insignificance of worldly enjoyment. And all these people who had come, they were taken aback. They had never heard. For them, enjoying senses was like worshipping. So it was like an aparad to them, like to their worshipable deity. And they just went away. And then devotees after the program, they approached Prabhupada, and then they said, Swamiji, we think that it's not so strategic. It's not so strategic to speak about enjoyment as so bad, at least in this land, in this hippie land. And then Prabhupada made a very profound statement. Prabhupada said, I have come here not to please Americans. I have come here to please Lord Sri Krishna. So that's how we see in the life of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sympathetic, at the same time non-compromising in his mission of establishing Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as we see Yudhishthira Maharaj expressing his urgency in to Lord Krishna. The third commonality is, just as Yudhishthira Maharaj worshipped Lord Krishna by performing Rajasuya Yajna, Lord Prabhupada worshipped and established Lord Krishna's supremacy by performing Sankirtan Yajna. The mood is the same. The approach is different. It's based on time, place and circumstances. Krite tat dhyayato Vishnu tretayam yajato makhe dvapare paricharyayam kalo tad harikirtanam. So The times have changed, and Prabhupada, as a great acharya who knows how to keep the principles intact, but the details may vary. And Prabhupada is here establishing Sankirtan Yajna. Prabhupada is here worshipping Krishna to the topmost means of Sankirtan Yajna. Tan sametan mahabhagan upalabhya vasuttama pujayam asudharmagyo desha kala vibhagavit. This verse comes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows, and then all the great rishis and sages comes to meet Bhishma Dev. And at that time, Shukdev Goswami explains, Bhishma Dev knew very well the principles, you know, according to time and place. Although he was not in the position to practically or physically welcome these personalities, but he offered them respects mentally as per the circumstances. And then in that purport, Prabhupada writes a brilliant statement. Prabhupada writes, all the great acharyas or religious preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of the religious principles in terms of time and place. So it may appear that Rajasuya sacrifice and Sankirtan Yajna, a vast difference. Where is the connection? There is no similarity. So externally it may not appear the same, but the intent is very important than just the external rituals. Why? Because we see in this world there are people who quote Bhagavad Gita extensively, who really give corporate management seminars. They quote Bhagavad Gita, but there is no mention of Krishna anywhere. There is a renowned yogi. There is a renowned a yogi who is a big guru, a philanthropist, and who is famous for giving lifestyle management talks. And his conclusion is that a biggest person on this earth planet who ever existed was Yudhishthir Maharaj. And more bigger idiot than Yudhishthir Maharaj or Lord Krishna. This is the conclusion. So, let's not go in external. What's the intent behind is more important. We see in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu speaking theistic philosophy to his family members, but the intent was to establish atheism. And on the contrary, in the tenth canto we see Lord Krishna apparently appears to be speaking atheistic philosophy of Karma Mimamsa, but the whole intent was to establish the supreme theism of worshipping him. So if we go on externals, like if we try to compare Rajasuya Yajna and Sankirtan Yajna, externals it may not appear same, but the intent plays a very important role. Like even we see Jarasandha is performing a big sacrifice. He is performing a big Kala Bhairav sacrifice, whatever, for the pleasure of Kala Bhairav. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is about to perform a big sacrifice. But what's the difference? One is trying to glorify Krishna and one is trying to glorify his own power. So externally this Hare Krishna Mahamantra or this Sankirtan Yajna may not resemble. There may not seem to be any resemblance, but the effect, the purity, the peace, the purification and the protection that the holy name offers is far beyond than what any other sacrifice can offer. So this is the third parallel, where Yudhishthira Maharaj is trying to worship Krishna through Rajasuya sacrifice. Prabhupada is trying to worship by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Fourth, just as Yudhishthira Maharaj felt himself unqualified and expressed his utter dependence on Krishna. Here in this verse, we see Yudhishthira Maharaj is expressing and requesting Krishna to make this sacrifice a big success. He's fully fully conscious of this fact that Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. It is only by Lord's mercy that things can really manifest. And we see similarly in a case of Prabhupada, how before embarking for this Herculean and practically impossible task of preaching in the West, Prabhupada, through his Markine Bhagavad Dharma, the bhajan that he wrote on Jaladuta, expresses his heartfelt dependence and surrender on Lord Krishna. Bodo Kripa Koile Krishna, Adha Mera Prati, Kila Giya Hile Heta, Koro Ebe Gatin. Then he says, Tabe Yadi Tava Kripa Hoibe Ahetuki, Sakale Sambhava Hoi, Tumi Se Kautuki. He's saying, my dear Lord, if you wish, anything and everything is possible. It is not astonishing. Sakala sambhava hoy. And then finally he's expressing his utter dependence by telling, bhakti nahi, veda nahi, nabe khuba daro, bhakati vedanta, nama ebe sarthak karo. So, this act of humility and utter dependence surcharges Prabhupada with Krishna Shakti to do invincible and inconceivable service for Lord Krishna. So this is the fourth commonality. Fifth is, although both of them are expressing their utter dependence, both of them are extremely dynamic. Although they are dependent, but they are extremely dynamic in order to accomplish their mission. And we see how, in the case of Prabhupada, how he was really dynamic. Prabhupada preached vigorously, tirelessly, and fearlessly to accomplish his mission. And a person who is dynamic, that means he's so enthusiastic, that one of the characteristics of a person who is dynamic is he doesn't waste a single moment. He values time more than anything else. Avyartha kalatvam. In fact, one time Prabhupada was in Dallas. He called Shrutakirti Prabhu, who was his personal servant. And Prabhupada had taken a small nap after the lunch. And he called Shrutakirti Prabhu after a short nap. And he asked Shrutakirti Prabhu whether he took rest. Shrutakirti Prabhu replied, Prabhupada, I couldn't get time to take rest. And then Prabhupada said, because I am an old man, and I don't get sleep, at a stretch, so I have to take a nap in between. Shrutakirti Prabhu writes that Prabhupada was so humble because at many occasions when Prabhupada would go to take rest in the evening, Prabhupada would reply to Shrutakirti Prabhu that now that I am going to take rest, I think I am wasting my time. So Shrutakirti Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada was so humble. It was just because of the need of the body that he was taking rest. Otherwise, he could have just went on and on and on. And then Shrutakirti Prabhu replies that at that time, I was just 20 years old and Prabhupada was 75. And then, although Prabhupada was 75, Shrutakirti Prabhu had a difficult time to keep up with the pace at which Prabhupada would travel all over the world. And also he mentioned that during many morning walks, lot of his sannyasi disciples would get tired. And they would look at each other, shook their heads, and they would be waiting when would Prabhupada take them back to temple. Why? Because they were so tired and they just couldn't keep up with the pace at which Prabhupada was moving. Prabhupada was in a short flight from New York. And when the flight boarded, when the flight took off, few disciples of Prabhupada started dozing off. They went to sleep. And when Prabhupada saw that, Prabhupada really exclaimed. Prabhupada said, just see, everyone in the flight is awake. And here are these devotees who are sleeping. They are in Maya. They are sleeping. Please tell them to wake up. Why they can't stay awake? Not that Prabhupada was insensitive to the needs of his disciple. He was trying to emphasize, or he was trying to convey this point, how a devotee is hard working for Krishna. He is dynamic more than any person of this world. And we can see who was hard working. Prabhupada was more hard working than any of his disciples, even after being at that age. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a beautiful purport that Prabhupada writes in connection to this verse. Sakatham sevaya tasya kalena jarasamgata prishtavartam pratibhruyat bhartu pado anusmaran. This verse comes in contact with it, in connection with Uddhava. When Uddhava was in his childhood days, he would serve Krishna tirelessly. And Shukdev Goswami explains, when Uddhava got old, when he became old, his attitude of service never slackened. And Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. Prabhupada writes, service to the Lord is not mundane. Service attitude of Lord's devotee gradually increases and never becomes slackened. Generally, in old age, person is allowed retirement from mundane service. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no retirement at all. On the contrary, service attitude increases more and more with the progress of age. It was quite humbling and it was a big setback for me, where I sometimes feel that it's too much now, too much of a service. 10 years, 15 years, that's it. And here is a personality who is writing such a remarkable, profound statement that, and finally he writes, in service to the Lord, there is no satiation or the feeling of fatigue. Therefore, no retirement, because it is spiritual service and not on a bodily platform. In fact, Pradyumna Prabhu recalls, Pradyumna Prabhu writes that Prabhupada was racing against the time. During his last days, initially he had no translators, where he would himself translate the commentaries of Bhagavatam, he would himself translate the verses of Bhagavatam and then give commentary. And then when later his disciples started helping him, his disciples would translate in Sanskrit and then Prabhupada would give commentary on Bhagavatam verses. And Pradyumna Prabhu recalls that during those last few months, from August 1977 to November 1977, before Prabhupada left this world, Prabhupada gave maximum commentaries to the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's saying Prabhupada was racing against time because he was not knowing when he would leave. And Pradyumna Prabhu mentions that if I would have translated more, Prabhupada would have given commentaries on more and more verses. It was we who were falling short in compare to Prabhupada, who was, although at that age, racing against time, but very dynamic. So this is the fifth commonality. Yeah. The sixth is, just as Yudhishthir Maharaj sent practically all of his soldiers, army, his brothers in all the four directions to conquer the kings and accept defeat. We see in the life of Prabhupada how Prabhupada himself, along with all of his disciples, went practically across all the four corners of the world trying to preach Krishna consciousness. Everywhere Prabhupada went, he actually performed Rajasuya sacrifice by establishing Sankirtan Yajna. And this is a beautiful pastime which I heard. Hamsadutta Swami was in Vrindavan. And at that time Prabhupada called Hamsadutta Swami and asked, he told him, why don't you go out Vrindavan and preach? So Hamsadutta Swami said, Prabhupada, I am actually not qualified to preach. And I am actually preparing myself so that one day I can preach. Prabhupada said, I want you to go to Sri Lanka and preach. So he was trying to just change the whole topic. So he said, Prabhupada, actually Sri Lanka is such a small place for me to go and preach, you know. So Prabhupada said, okay, is it so small? Then go to Pakistan and preach. So then Hamsadatta Swami realized that because it's not me or my power, it's not my qualification, it's just because a great soul desires, and if we just fulfill his promise, fulfill his desires, then everything will automatically manifest. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a beautiful verse which says that Ek Diner Udyog Aiche Mahotsava Koila Gopala Prabhaver Hoy Anya Na Chanila. This beautiful festival and the installation of the Lord Gopal in Govardhan happened in one day. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes that all this was accomplished by potency of Lord Gopal. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this verse. Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness has spread in all the four directions in a very short time of 5 years. And by Mahaprabhu's mercy we can understand that everything is possible by Krishna's grace. And then Prabhupada writes, why 5 years? Krishna can spread his name and fame all over the world like a wildfire in 5 days. That was the conviction that Prabhupada carried when he went all out in all the directions. And that was the same conviction that Prabhupada injected, implemented in his disciples. I mean, so much can be mentioned about each and every disciple who, you know, just went all out, extending beyond their capacity in spreading this mission. In fact, Prabhupada, when he went to Moscow, he visited Moscow in 1971 just once. And he stayed in Moscow just for 5 days. He never gave a big pandal program, never preached to in public, and he was not allowed to go out somewhere. He was just in his hotel staying. One young boy of the name Antoli came to meet him, and Prabhupada spoke to him. And this one boy, after Prabhupada left, he created major revolution. And in 1994, when this communism collapsed, Newsweek magazine stated that Hare Krishna movement is the fastest spreading religion in Russia. And we see today, it's all history. So how Prabhupada, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, went and sent all of his disciples practically all over the world in all four directions. One more commonality is, just as Yudhishthira Maharaj and his entire team, they had to fight. That was one of the prerequisite to Rajasuya Yajna. The prerequisite and the the preoperative itself is so challenging before performing Rajasuya sacrifice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, they had to have battle after battle, fight after fight, war after war, to really bring all this king under their subjugation. So they had to fight with all the skills, all the weapons they had. Similarly, we see in the life of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada initially, single-handedly, like a spiritual warrior, he fought and practically took over the entire civilization, which was steeped in materialism. Now for a warrior, the success, the survival and the success of a warrior depends mainly on the weapon. Which weapon he carries, that's his main possession. And Prabhupada writes in this Markine Bhagavad Dharma, what was his weapon that he carried to defeat the people with atheistic philosophy or impersonalist philosophy or misleading theory. Prabhupada writes, Bhagavatira katha se tab avatar dhira hoya shune kane yadi barabar. Prabhupada said that, this words of Bhagavatam are the real weapon. Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanaha chindati kovida tasya kona kuryat kathamratim. The remembrance of the Lord is like a sword which can cut off all the powerful knots. So Prabhupada here Prabhupada writes that this sound vibration was his weapon. And Prabhupada writes in one of the commentaries that this is the warfare that's required in Kali Yuga. This is the true warfare that's required in Kali Yuga. In the war of Kurukshetra, the main plot was to throw off Krishna and bring in Adharma. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, the main plot is to bring in Adharma by this misleading theories and the negative propaganda. But Prabhupada said that it's through this Bhaktivedanta purports and the books that he has written, it will make all change. It will really defeat the wrong philosophies and the ideas. This is the last, just conclude with 5 minutes. This is a famous incident that took place in New York. Prabhupada was on the 11th story high-rise building in New York, very sick, he couldn't walk. And he got an invitation for the Rath Yatra festival. Prabhupada decided, I must go. And devotees, they pleaded Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, you can't go, you are so sick, you are not in a position to go outside. But then Prabhupada decided, he has to go. And then Prabhupada was going down the lift elevator, and devotees were still pleading, Prabhupada, still we can go back. And then Prabhupada was very grave. Satsarup Maharaj writes, Prabhupada was very grave more than ever before. And he did not look like a person of this world. And then finally Prabhupada, with his grave voice and grave mood, Prabhupada replied, please allow me to fight for Krishna till my last breath. Please do not take away this privilege, because this is my only service to Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada saw preaching as a war against illusory energy. So we see how Yudhishthira Maharaj, they had to fight, Prabhupada had to actually fight back to establish. And then last, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to glorify Krishna. And in the upcoming verses, we will see how Lord Krishna, when he heard this entire proposal, Lord Krishna replied by saying that by this yajna, your name and fame will spread all over the world. So Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to exclusively glorify Krishna, and Krishna is exclusively wanting to glorify the Pandavas. And here we see in the life of Prabhupada, Prabhupada wanted to exclusively glorify Sri Krishna. Krishna made him the Acharya, Jagat Guru of the entire world. And just as Krishna is remembered and worshipped all over the world, we see Prabhupada is being worshipped and being honored and remembered practically every corner of the world. So finally, to conclude, the main hero of this chapter we will see is Bhima, the slaying of demon Jarasan. We see in the life of Pandavas how Arjuna had mastered archery. Bhima had mastered mace. Yudhishthir had mastered in just speaking what's truth. But we see that even after mastering best of the values, best of the skill set, best of the competency, these mastery falls short. And it's only Krishna's intervention that saves them at every step. Say an example of killing of Jayadrath. Arjuna had that skill of chopping off Jayadrath's head, and he did that. But that also fell short. Had it not been for Krishna, who would have not told him that where you have to throw this head of Jayadrath, right directly in the lap of his father, it would still have been Arjuna's failure. So just being, just having skill sets, just having mastery, just having competency is not enough. It needs Krishna's blessings and Krishna's mercy to fulfill any mission. Or in the case of Arjuna, when he killed Bhagadatta, it was Krishna who took that weapon. When Bhagadatta released Vaishnava weapon, Arjuna was a bit surprised. Arjuna is asking Krishna, "My dear Lord, why are you breaking your vow? You told that you will not partake in this war, but why are you standing up and taking this weapon on yourself?" So then Krishna had to explain him that no one in this world had the power to counteract this Vaishnava weapon. It was only he who could counteract, who could take this weapon. At that time Arjuna realized that I had the power to kill Bhagadatta, but had it not been for Lord Krishna, it would have been practically impossible. And here also in this case we will see Bhima, who had mastered for days and days, he will keep fighting with Jarasandha. There is no solution coming out of it. Finally, Lord Krishna, he intervenes and he tells him what's the right way. And then Jarasandha is slayed. So I was thinking that's the hope that a sadhaka has in his life, that Krishna can protect our consciousness from the temptation that keeps hitting us. And give us intelligence at the right time so that we may continue to follow the right path. That is Krishna consciousness all through our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.